Current Affairs. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to our program, Current Affairs. I'm Tina Jha. Today, we will be discussing about the Prime Minister's visit to five nations, strengthening India's global partnerships. The first leg of the visit began in Abu Dhabi, where in a special gesture, UAE President Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan personally received the Prime Minister upon his arrival, a reflection of the deep and enduring bonds of friendship between India and the UAE. Prime Minister Modi extended gratitude to President Nahyan for the warm reception, describing the UAE as his second home. Listen in.
आपने पिछले दिनों प्राकृतिक आपदा के कारण कुछ इलाकों में जो परेशानियां थी उन पीड़ित परिवारों के लिए संवेदना व्यक्त की, इसके लिए भी मैं आपका बहुत बहुत आभारी हूँ। पिछले कुछ समय से आपसे फोन पर तो बात होती रहती थी, परंतु मैं स्वयं आपसे मिलने के लिए बहुत ही बेताब था, आतुर था। मैंने क्यों, लेकिन मुझे ऐसा लग रहा था कि मुझे जितना हो सके उतना जल्दी आपके पास आना चाहिए, आपको मिलना चाहिए। आज आपसे मिलकर के मुझे सचमुच बहुत खुशी हुई है। ब्रदर, जैसा मैंने आपको पहले भी कहा है, यूएई पर हुए हमलों की हम कठोर निंदा करते हैं। यूएई को जिस तरह निशाना बना गया है, ये किसी भी रूप में स्वीकार्य नहीं है। ब्रदर, इन कठिन परिस्थितियों में आपने जिस संयम, करेज और विजन का परिचय दिखाया है,
the two sides also exchanged views on developments in West Asia and other major global issues. The visit witnessed several significant outcomes, with seven major agreements and arrangements announced. These include an MOU on strategic collaboration between Indian Strategic Petroleum Reserves Limited and Abu Dhabi National Oil Company. So to discuss the significance of these outcomes and what they mean for the future of the India-UAE Comprehensive Strategic Partnership, we have with us two eminent guests, Professor Harsh V. Pant, Vice President, Observer Research Foundation, and Professor Anshu Joshi, School of International Studies, Jawaharlal Nehru University. Thank you to both our guests for joining us on this program on Akashvani. Before we proceed further into the discussion, let's listen to this special interview of Indian Ambassador to the UAE on the significance of India-UAE ties by Prasar Bharati correspondent Vinod Kumar.
The MOU on strategic petroleum reserves comes at a time of significant supply disruptions in West Asia. Master Deepak Mittal, how does this agreement specifically strengthen India's energy security?
Today, the visit of the Honorable Prime Minister, there were very strategic announcements. One was to enhance UAE's participation in the India's strategic petroleum reserves, increasing from nearly 5.5 million barrels and taking it to 30 million barrels. And that would involve creating new sites, developing new sites jointly, including in Chandikot in Odisha. Second element was to also have India's strategic petroleum reserve capacity in the UAE reserves in Fujairah. Third element was to also go beyond crudes and to develop new strategic storage reserve for the gas, LNG and LPG. First time to do so, a partnership which was agreed. And fourth was to also work on long-term LNG supply arrangements between the two countries. So it was very strategic, long-term decisions to deepen India's energy security and to deepen energy partnership between India and the UAE. But that was not limited to this energy, but it was also went beyond. The discussions between the leaders today also touched upon technology, the decisions to set up 8 hexaflop supercomputer facility in India, which will be based upon the Cerebras chip technology. One of the chip which was presented by the President of UAE, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed, to the Prime Minister. That will form a very important part of our AI mission in India and benefit our youth and the researchers. Associated with was also the UAE decision to also partnership in developing the ship repair cluster in the Vadinar in India as a part of the recent policy which we have brought out in India, the government's focus on making India and develop India as a hub for shipbuilding and ship repair. That will contribute, and also to set up a center of excellence in Chennai in partnership with UAE for training skill development in maritime sector. I think that's a very comprehensive, substantive decisions taken today as outcomes from the visit.
Speaking on investments, $5 billion in UAE investments has been announced, covering infrastructure, RBL Bank and Saman Capital. What's the way forward, and how confident is that these commitments will translate into actual flows of funds?
These are very substantive announcements. the announcement of $5 billion, meaning more than 47,000 crore Indian rupees today, which were announced in three prime sectors. One was in the banking sector, Emirates New Development Bank to invest nearly $3 billion in the RBL Bank. First time such an investment of this scale is coming from UAE into India. Second, by ADIA, Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, to invest $1 billion in the infrastructure sector in India, along with the NIIF. And ADIA has done it before in 2015, and this is second time they're doing it. And third is by the International Holding Company of the UAE to invest $1 billion in Sammaan Capital. These are very big FDIs coming in from UAE and reflective of the very strong confidence in the growing Indian economy under the leadership of Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi in India. Today is the beacon of global growth around there. And as far as this realization, I think these all approvals are in place, these announcements, and you can see them now seeing on the ground as we speak, they are starting to roll out.
We have met ambitious target of $100 million after the CIPA agreement. Now that has been achieved continuously back to back in 2 years, and we have a new target of 2032 at $200 million. So how do you see this bilateral trade improving in the coming decade?
Yes, the leadership has set a new target for us to double our bilateral trade to $200 billion by 2032. And we are very confident. We achieved 100 billion based upon the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement we signed in 22. We had set that time the target 2030, but we achieved it by 2024 in 2 years. So I remain confident that 200 billion targets will be achieved well before time of 2032. And today, you know, there were a number of decisions to even do the trade facilitation measures, how to promote trade between the two countries, whether it's energy, whether it is fintech, and also the virtual trade corridor. The operationalization of the virtual trade corridor, which was announced today, was also very significant in towards this trade facilitation measures. So I remain confident and very bullish on this account.
Thank you so much, Ambassador, for your time.
Thank you so much.
Professor Pant, let me begin the program today with you. Significant in outcomes, is that how the visit of the Prime Minister to the UAE can be summed up?
This seems to be becoming a norm now in India-UAE relationship. Last time when President Al-Nayan had visited India, it was also a short visit, but it was a substantive one, and I think Prime Minister has reciprocated, particularly at a time when you look at what is happening in the region, and in some ways what is happening in the region is highlighting the fragility of global energy supply chains. India remains heavily dependent on imported energy. And so for India, UAE, of course, has been a traditional anchor for energy security. But beyond that, I think if you look at what has been accomplished in this short visit is nothing short of stupendous, because it covers so many different dimensions of this relationship, whether it's energy, trade, defense, critical technologies. And I think that shows you that a relationship that was largely based on hydrocarbons and diaspora has now moved to encompass a range of issues which are making this relationship one of the most important ones that India has had. And the last decade has seen an enormous trajectory, a significant investment in the trajectory of this relationship. Particularly, I think one must pay tribute to the two leaders who have invested their personal diplomatic capital in ensuring that this relationship continues to grow. I think it mattered that Prime Minister went there, standing shoulder to shoulder with the UAE leadership, sending out a message that this is a partnership that will stand together even in times of crises.
Before we proceed, let's listen in to a special report by our Prasar Bharati correspondent, Vinod Kumar.
The talks yielded a wide range of agreements on energy. India Strategic Petroleum Reserves Limited and Abu Dhabi National Oil Company signed a strategic collaboration agreement to raise UAE's participation in India's strategic petroleum reserves to 30 million barrels. A long-term LPG supply arrangement between Indian Oil Corporation and ADNOC was also concluded. On defense, the two sides signed a framework for a strategic defense partnership covering industrial collaboration, maritime security, cyber defense, and information exchange. $5 billion US dollars in UAE investment to India was announced. $3 billion from the Emirates New Development Bank into RBL Bank, $1 billion from the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority into priority infrastructure projects, and $1 billion from the International Holding Company into Sammaan Capital. The two countries also signed agreements to establish a ship repair cluster at Vadnagar, a skill development framework for the maritime sector, and an agreement to set up an exaflop supercomputing cluster between India's SeaDAC and UAE's G42. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashwani News from Abu Dhabi.
Professor Joshi, coming to you for your views on how do you look at this kind of transformation that Professor Pant just spoke about from a traditionally energy-driven relationship, also guided largely by the Indian diaspora in the UAE, to now a much broader strategic partnership, something that is also reflected in the kind of agreements and announcements that have been made in this recent visit of the Prime Minister to the UAE?
So, as in we can see, UAE serves as India's key gateway to Gulf strategically, geopolitically, and driven by the historic partnership or collaborations based on fossil fuel-based exchanges. When we look now, we can see the 2022 Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement between the two nations, which now drives the bilateral trade between the two nations that has exceeded $100 billion. And now there is a special focus on investments of fintech, novice technologies like AI, and of course, digital public infrastructure, wherein India has mastered this entire sector and presents itself as a case study for the entire world. That's where the relationship has grown even stronger between UAE and India in the sector of energy, of course, and defense and security. So the partnership now also can be seen anchored by a very strong traditional Indian diaspora and people-to-people connects that were always there between India and UAE. On the other hand, the other pillar remains strategic and defense ties, wherein on one hand, UAE is seen as a critical energy partner of India, and it is ranked as India's fourth largest source of crude oil. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, now India can be seen as a critical, you know, collaborator with UAE in the area of strategic and defense ties, wherein both the countries have moved to the level of defense industrial collaboration in the area of maritime security also. And both the countries have also been participating in India, Middle East, Europe Economic Corridor, IMEC, which is a very significant and relevant or futuristic project connecting these entire regions together.
Absolutely. And not to forget the personal camaraderie between the two leaders that we've seen in recent years add a strong dimension to the India-UAE ties. Here's another excerpt from the special interview of India's ambassador to the UAE on the significance of India-UAE energy security by Prasar Bharati correspondent Vinod Kumar.
I think UAE is one of the very important partners for India in our energy security. UAE has been supplier of almost 11% of our crude requirements by last year, making it as a fourth largest supplier of crude. UAE as an LNG supplier, we have over 4.5 million metric tons kind of contracts between Indian companies and the UAE's ADNOC, Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, over the past 6-7 years, making UAE the second or the third largest supplier of LNG to India. UAE meets the largest demands for India in terms of the cooking gas, LPG, meeting 40% of our requirements. UAE has been perhaps the first and the only partner in our strategic petroleum reserves, with over 5 million barrels of crude storage in India, in the Mangalore. So I think this partnership goes well beyond buyer-seller relationship. It's a partnership of a very energy partnership is of, a strategic nature, which we are investing in each other.
Professor Pant, I'll shift focus now to the important outcomes. And at a time of global energy uncertainty, one that stands out is the strategic collaboration on LPG supplies. How important is it for India to have such kind of long-term arrangements?
This is something that India and the UAE have been preparing for a while. They have been talking about strategic petroleum reserves, UAE's investment in Mangalore in our reserves there. And then, of course, this decision that ultimately alternative routes will have to be found from what is happening in the Strait of Hormuz. And that is something which makes the Fujairah link very, very important. This is no longer a transactional relationship, no longer a relationship between energy importer and exporter. It's a relationship between two countries that are making a long-term bet on each other.
Right. We'll now turn attention to the second leg of the Prime Minister's five-nation visit, which is to the Netherlands. As per the MEA, the Netherlands leg will be focusing heavily on semiconductors, on green hydrogen, water management, and also defense cooperation. Professor Joshi, coming to you now, give us an overview of how significant is it in terms of the timing, the visit of the Prime Minister to the Netherlands, but also in terms of opportunities. How do you look at India partnering with some of these very technologically advanced European nations, including the Netherlands?
Indeed, in the second leg of his journey, our Prime Minister would be meeting the King William Alexander and Queen Maxima of the Netherlands, and he would be holding different talks with the PM also of Netherlands. And as you have already mentioned, the focused areas remain but not limited to green hydrogen, semiconductors, defense manufacturing, and of course, trade relations. When we look at India-Netherlands relations, they enjoy a strong and amicable partnership built on over 75 years of formal diplomatic ties, which were established in 1947 itself. And we have a robust economic cooperation and sustainable development initiatives, and of course, a deep cultural connect with the Netherlands. And Netherlands remains one of India's key partners in Europe in all these areas. So bilateral interactions, when we look at, they have grown significantly, spanning traditional commerce to high-tech industries also. So the focus during this visit, I think, would remain on the trading power between the two nations, how the trade volumes can be further increased, and amid this flux in geopolitics, how supply chains could be made more resilient, how the investments can be looked upon, how the institutional frameworks could be made better. And from water management to the area of agriculture, to high-tech and innovative technologies like AI, to renewable energy, to healthcare and biotech, I think the focus would remain on both the traditional areas wherein both the nations have been collaborating together, as well as these novice areas of engagement. And of course, geopolitically, when we see the strategic dimension of this relationship has also deepened alongside the shifting global dynamics, wherein the Netherlands issued its official guidelines on Indo-Pacific, which remains a critical area of focus for India. And that's where Netherlands has identified India as a very important partner for ensuring not only economic stability, but also security and free and open maritime domain. So maritime security, and that too in Indo-Pacific region, may also remain a focused area of discussions, Tina. And apart from that, diaspora and cultural exchanges also remain on the array of talks that are going to happen in Netherlands.
Professor Pan, how important is India's growing and expanding engagement with partners like the Netherlands?
Tina, very significant and very important, because one of the things that we are witnessing now is, and of course, juxtaposing it with our discussion earlier with the UAE, if you look at the trajectory of Indian foreign policy in the last decade, two geographies where India has invested most, where India is tied in most, where India is openly embracing a sense of commitment, these two geographies are the Middle East and Europe. And I think the Prime Minister is signaling that as the world goes through a churn of great power competition, contestation, these two critical geographies will remain central for India's developmental priorities, for India's strategic priorities, as well as for India's tech priorities. And I think this is where what is going to happen during this visit. This is going to be about New Delhi's trying to position itself as a credible manufacturing, technology and investment hub as we see a global supply chain reconfiguration. And Europe certainly is very important in that respect. Then, of course, you have the energy transition that we were talking about. We were talking about it in a certain context when it came to UAE. But if you think about Europe, India is attempting to diversify its suppliers, its technology partnerships, its green transition imperatives. So cooperation on renewables, green hydrogen, clean technologies is going to be figuring out a lot when Prime Minister goes from Netherlands all the way to Nordic countries. So I think in that sense, energy, economy, and then tech, India's growing emphasis on emerging tech and innovation ecosystems, semiconductors, AI, resilient supply chains, defense tech, startup collaborations, these are all critical now for India's external partnerships. So now from a traditional focus on political solidarity to a far more transactional and capability-oriented engagement with major economies is what is defining India's European outreach. And I think that is what we are going to see in country after country the Prime Minister goes, whether it is Netherlands, whether then after Sweden, Norway, Italy. I think this is how we are going to see the outcome from that. We should assess the outcome from that perspective, that India is no longer content with symbolic diplomacy. It is seeking tangible gains, whether it's technology access, energy resilience, investment flows, and a strategic influence. And at a time when you have geopolitical fragmentation, India, what it is trying to do is basically leverage its growing economic weight to emerge as a pivotal actor in these two critical geographies where India has traditionally not been that important. But today, certainly, India's economic weight is giving it such a heft that it can have a bilateral partnership with the UAE and it can have a bilateral engagement with the Nordics. So we will have the India-Nordic summit happen next week. So it is, I think, in that sense, a transformative moment in India's ties with both West Asia and Europe.
Before we proceed further into the discussion, focusing on the second leg of the Prime Minister's visit, which is to the Netherlands, here's an interview of the Indian Ambassador to the Netherlands, Kumar Tuhin, who described the Prime Minister's visit to the country as a significant one, while speaking exclusively to Akashwani correspondent Sushrut Sharma. आइए सुनते हैं इसके प्रमुख अंश.
प्रधानमंत्री तीन दिवसीय यात्रा पर नीदरलैंड आ रहे हैं. इस मुद्दे पर बात करने के लिए हमारे साथ हैं भारत के राजदूत श्री कुमार तुहिन सर. सर, कितना इम्पोर्टेंट है ये विजिट?
यह यात्रा बहुत ही इम्पोर्टेंट है, इसलिए क्योंकि हमारे संबंध नीदरलैंड से बहुत मजबूत हैं. लेकिन यह एक ऐसा मौका होगा जबकि दोनों देशों के नेता नीदरलैंड में नई सरकार बनने के बाद पहली बार सामने सामने मिल रहे होंगे. तो इस मौके पर आज तक जो हमारी प्रगति हुई है उसको रिव्यू करना, हमारी जो प्रोग्रेस है उनको कंसोलिडेट करना और आगे एक नई दिशा देने का एक बहुत बढ़िया मौका है.
सर, वो कौन कौन से महत्वपूर्ण क्षेत्र हैं जहाँ पे दोनों देश आपसी सहयोग के मुद्दों पे बात करेंगे और उनको और एक्सप्लोर करेंगे?
पहले से जो हमारे जो सेक्टर्स हैं, जैसे कि ट्रेड है, इन्वेस्टमेंट है, और जो पानी का क्षेत्र है, और कृषि का क्षेत्र है, स्वास्थ्य का क्षेत्र है, इन क्षेत्रों में तो पहले से ही बहुत कुछ काम हो रहा है. हम ये आशा करते हैं कि इस यात्रा के दौरान दोनों देशों के शीर्ष नेताओं को मौका मिलेगा कि जो नए इमर्जिंग जो कुछ सेक्टर्स हैं, जैसे कि सेमीकंडक्टर का क्षेत्र है या क्लीन एनर्जी का क्षेत्र है, मैरिटाइम कोऑपरेशन का क्षेत्र है, इन क्षेत्रों में भी हमारी आज की प्रगति को रिव्यू करना और हमें फिर एक नई दिशा और नए निर्देश देने का एक अवसर.
सेमीकंडक्टर के क्षेत्र में नीदरलैंड एक पायनियर है. उस क्षेत्र में हमारे यहाँ पे R&D के फील्ड में कुछ भारत में भी हो रहा है, तो क्या आगे हम मैन्युफैक्चरिंग या प्रोडक्शन के क्षेत्र में भी कुछ संभावनाएं एक्सप्लोर करते हैं?
जी, नीदरलैंड्स विश्व की सबसे प्रख्यात सेमीकंडक्टर कंपनियों की जगह है और पिछले कुछ वर्षों में हमारे देश की जो हमारी जो प्राथमिकताएं हैं उनमें सेमीकंडक्टर इकोसिस्टम को भी बढ़ाने का काफी बड़ा काम है. तो इसलिए ये कम्प्लीमेंट्री एक तरह के हम लोगों का स्ट्रेंथ है और हमारी भूमिकाएं हैं, जिसमें मैं उम्मीद करता हूँ कि डच कंपनियां जो कि अभी भारत में मौजूद हैं लेकिन उनकी और बढ़ने की अभी आशा है और पोटेंशियल है, उसको हम लोग एक नए स्तर पर लेके जा पाएंगे.
सर, ग्रीन हाइड्रोजन के बारे में भी आजकल बहुत बात हो रही है. नीदरलैंड इसमें एक पायनियर है लेकिन इंडिया भी इसमें एक उभरता हुआ लीडर नजर आ रहा है. सर, उस क्षेत्र में से कौन से फील्ड्स हैं जहां पे ये हमको बहुत बेनिफिट करेगा? हम सुन रहे हैं कि कुछ क्लाइमेट रेजिलिएंट एग्रीकल्चर में भी ग्रीन हाइड्रोजन का एक रोल है अदर देन एनर्जी सिक्योरिटी.
जी, सो नीदरलैंड्स क्लाइमेट के एरिया में, सस्टेनेबल टेक्नोलॉजी के इलाके में काफी बढ़िया करते हैं. हमारे देश में भी आपको पता है कि क्लाइमेट, वातावरण और साथ साथ कृषि हमारे लिए बहुत महत्वपूर्ण इलाके हैं. तो हम कोशिश ये कर रहे हैं कि जो डच कंपनियों के पास जो उनकी जो तकनीक है, उनके पास जो आधुनिक तकनीक है, उनका जो ज्ञान है, उनको हम लोग भारतीय कंपनियों के साथ जोड़ सकें, यहाँ के रिसर्च इंस्टीट्यूशंस को हम भारत के जो शैक्षणिक संस्थान हैं, हमारे जो अनुसंधान संस्थान, उनसे जोड़ सकें, ताकि हम दोनों देशों के बीच में एक म्यूचुअली जो बेनिफिशियल एक तरह का जो रिलेशन है उसको हम लोग ले पाए.
सर, सस्टेनेबल लाइफस्टाइल, सस्टेनेबल एनर्जी पे भी नीदरलैंड जाना जाता है. उस क्षेत्र में ऐसे कुछ उदाहरण, जैसे इंडिया में भी प्रधानमंत्री मोदी ने मिशन लाइफ को शुरुआत किया है, उस तरह के उदाहरण यहाँ से जो हम तब से शोकेस कर सकते हैं?
प्रधानमंत्री जी की जो मिशन लाइफ है उसके संबंध में मैं कहूँगा कि यहाँ पे बहुत सारी चीजें ऐसी हो रही हैं जो कि हम लोग उसको देख सकते हैं और बहुत तरीके से हम लोग उसको अपने आप ही ला सकते हैं. जैसे अगर आपको उदाहरण दूँ साइकिल, तो साइकिल का इस्तेमाल यहाँ पे इतना बढ़िया है, इतना ज्यादा है कि आप दो शहरों के बीच भी, अगर वो 40-50-60 किलोमीटर दूर भी हो, वहाँ आप साइकिल चला के भी जा सकते हैं. इसके अलावा आप अगर देखें यहाँ पे जितने इनोवेटिव तरीके से पानी का इस्तेमाल होता है, ये देश जो है सो समुद्र से कई मीटर नीचे होने के बाद भी आप पानी, जब कभी बाढ़ होता या पानी की कभी शॉर्टेज होता या पानी सही स्थिति में नहीं होता, साफ नहीं होता, उन सब की तकनीक इनके पास है. तो मैं सोचता हूँ कि इन सब को भी हम अपने मिशन लाइफ में डिफरेंट जो उसके आयाम हैं, विभिन्न आयाम हैं, उनसे इनको जोड़ सकते हैं और भारत में हम लोग एक नया बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण संबंध हम लोग इसमें स्थापित कर सकते हैं.
धन्यवाद सर, आकाशवाणी समाचार से बात करने के लिए बहुत बहुत
शुक्रिया. बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद.
Professor Joshi, from an Indian context, how can this partnership benefit our growth priorities? We've set ambitious goals for ourselves. We have a certain window in which we need to leapfrog towards development. And therefore, these partnerships with the smaller countries here in the region, but very, very technologically advanced, they can help us majorly in our growth priorities, isn't it?
Indeed. And when we look at Sweden, Tina, the partnership that we have with Sweden focuses on technology partnerships innovations, sustainability, and of course, strategic relations. And there have been high-level interactions between the two nations. The momentum has increased, of course, both bilaterally as well as multilaterally when we look from whole Europe's perspective. And the focused areas remain green transition, smart cities, AI, and healthcare. When we look at cooperation with and collaboration with India, so there has been a lead IT initiative also for industrial transition and expanding defense industrial collaboration with Sweden. So in the areas of innovation and technology, we are collaborating in digitalization, IoT, AI with Sweden. And there have been ministerial level discussions also in early January 2026. And these discussions focused on science, tech and space exploration and collaboration between the two nations. Then green energy remains a very important area. There's a high focus on climate initiatives. That's where Sweden is also contributing a lot. And that's where India-Sweden Industry Transition Partnership has started. And the key cooperation areas include renewable energy, green hydrogen, and different types of green economy projects. When we look at defense industrial cooperation, in 2019, a security agreement was signed between the two nations. Mm-hmm. So the collaborations are continuously growing. And Swedish firms like Saab, they have been investing in local manufacturing in India. When we look at economic partnership, strong investment ties with over 250 Swedish companies are now present in India. There's a focus on manufacturing, urban development, and of course, sustainable development in different cities. And diplomatic and strategic ties have already gone to the next level, wherein we can see different regular dialogues on different international issues also, and these collaborations that span different areas, different dimensions. So the focus now remains on elevating ties in the areas of space collaboration, novice technologies, and also city development. And there is a strategic alignment wherein we can see that this relationship is very important for both the countries from a technology partnerships point of view, for making supply chains more resilient, mm-hmm. and digital transformation also. So this bilateral relationship between the two nations now has transitioned from traditional diplomatic or political ties to very modern, technology-oriented, futuristic, substantive partnership addressing future-oriented challenges. So that's where the relationship covers not only the novice areas of technology bilaterally, but also regionally as well as globally.
Okay, one last quick question, Professor Pant, to you from the India-Italy context, because the Prime Minister's last leg happens to be in Italy, with whom we've seen a renewed momentum in ties in recent years. So what concrete outcomes can we expect from the Italy leg of the Prime Minister's visit?
On Italy, certainly, as you would know, there has been a very differentiated engagement where Italy itself has looked at India through a distinct lens, you know, away from the larger European lens that it used to be. And there is a more strategic ambition in Italy now to play a larger role in the Mediterranean, for example, where India-Italy collaboration, strategic and defense collaboration, is certainly being looked at very, very carefully. Defense partnership with Italy is something that will continue to grow and that we will see some of that reflected as an outcome of this visit as well. But I would also say that Italy, when it comes to investments and clean energy partnership, Italy is also very, very critical. By and large, what the momentum that this partnership has gathered, we are going to see that momentum being reflected during this visit. And I think the ambition that Italy now puts in its relationship with India, that ambition has started showing, whether we are looking at economic relations, where Italy today is India's fourth largest trading partner within the EU, whether it is the geopolitical alignment and strategic alignment between the Indo-Pacific and the Mediterranean, mm-hmm. whether we are looking at cybersecurity, AI and renewable partnership, or whether we are looking at the defense industrial cooperation. There is a military cooperation plan which focuses on how can you bridge the gap as far as India's Atmanirbhar initiative is concerned and Italy's competence in aerospace and ship design is concerned. So I think we are looking at a relationship that is increasingly becoming ambitious, and we are going to see some of that ambition get reflected in the outcomes of this visit.
Absolutely. We'll keep a close track of what these significant outcomes will be. But broadly, from trade and technology to strategic cooperation, the expected outcomes of the Prime Minister's five-nation visit will play a very, very important role for our future diplomacy, for our growth priorities, but also for the global role that India is now playing. On that note, we'll have to call it a wrap on this edition of Current Affairs. Thank you once again, Professor Pant, Professor Joshi. Thank you for joining us. Well, so that brings us to an end of this program. Thank you to both our guests for sharing your insights with us. Also, thank you to our listeners for your valuable time. You can also listen to this program on our mobile application, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Current Affairs.